Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Ami, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Hi, Wanda. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm so happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Let's see. I am by training a lawyer. And a few years ago, I came over to the dark side and left the dark side and became a writer full time. But I have been loving life ever since. And yeah, you know, I write and live out of Atlanta, Georgia. Three kids. I do all the mom stuff. As a matter of fact, after our interview today, I've got to go get in the carpool line and pick up my kid from school. So yeah, just a regular person who loves stories.
I love this. I've met plenty of lawyers who have transitioned over out of the dark side into the light of writing, even if it's writing, you know, murder books and all the different things, it's still like, it's just a different change of pace. So what kind of like led you to pursue writing at this stage of your life? Was it something that you're just like, you have had in the back of your mind, you're like always been a writer, and then somehow you're like, you know, life is too short, I'm going to give this a try.
That's really pretty much how it all happened, although it was kind of over a long span of time. I mean, I've always loved to write. I've always loved stories ever since I was a kid. But, you know, I always felt like writing a book was some big kind of lofty thing for really creative, smart people. That wasn't me. And so, you know, finally, after I had been practicing law and working in corporate America, I got sick and I got really sick, but I got better. And I think having one of those kind of life-changing situations where you get sick, you start to evaluate your life in a different kind of way. And I kind of stepped back and took perspective. And I was like, you know, I'm always thinking about writing a book. Why am I not doing it? And to your point, I'm like, life is short. Time is finite. Why am I just thinking about it? Let me do it. And I had started a book and had put it away for 7 years and didn't touch it. But after I got sick, I dug that book back out. And I was like, yeah, I mean, it's not good now, but I could take something that's bad and make it better, right? And so I dug that book out and I started working on it again. And that's what kind of led me here. You know, I went about the process of trying to find an agent and a publisher, and there you have it.
There we go. You know, so Jesse, you just have to take that first action, which is the hardest action to take, which is just sit down and write the book. Like, and write it for you, write it for what you think will work for that will engage, will entertain you as an individual. And then, you know, and then obviously the process changed, the book changes, the process, you invite more people to give feedback, all these different things. But I think it's like taking that first action is probably the hardest action you have to take. And it's the most important one.
Yeah, it is. It's the very first step. And you know, even if we go back to before, like when I wrote that first scene, I, you know, had been thinking about these characters in my head for literally years, and never did anything about it. I was like, oh, what if this woman had this life where she blah, 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 and would never do anything. And then one day I was at work and it was an awful day. Like, I had this really awful meeting and I was being yelled at by my boss and blamed for a bunch of stuff. And it was just terrible. And I went home from that meeting and, you know, I spent the first hour or so crying into my, you know, Haagen-Dazs ice cream or whatever. And then I realized, well, crying isn't going to do me very much good. And I was like, maybe I'll just write or do something, because I've always journaled ever since I was young. And I was like, maybe I'll just write something and that'll just get my mind off of it and kind of clear my head. And I actually sat down and I kind of wrote a scene, like a scene that had been rambling around in my head. And that scene ultimately became a very pivotal scene in the very first book. So yeah, it just happens like that. And after I wrote that scene, I was like, oh, I like that. Like I said, it wasn't very good, but I love that feeling it gave me to be able to create this whole setting and this whole cast of characters in a scene. So, yeah.
Yes. So you do work with, on your characters are lawyers for the most part. They're involved in corporate and, you know, just part of it. So how did your previous life inform your new life? You know, how do you take some of those experiences here? When you take them to the ringer, like, these are not books that we're going to, like, have a happily ever after and everyone's going to be hunky-dory and everyone's going to love it. Like, honestly, you take them to, like, those heights. It was possible, but that's why we love your books.
Yeah, you get my books. Oh, apparently you get my books. Yeah, you know, well, my first book, All Her Little Secrets, I tell people it wasn't much of a stretch in terms of doing the research, right? Because that book is about a Black female lawyer who works in corporate America. Like, duh, that was my life at the time I was writing that book. But it did inform a lot of the scenes in there. Like, I write about what it's like to walk into an office and smell the smells and hear the click-clack of, you know, the keyboard when your assistants are sitting out there typing away, and what it's like to have a tight budget, but you're required to do everything. And so that kind of stuff was going on in my everyday life while I was writing the book, because I wrote this book while I was still working as a lawyer. And then with my second book, it has some legal aspects to it, but it's really kind of a coming of age story about two young sisters growing up in the oppression of the Jim Crow South. So I had to do more research there. Kind of the legal issues, again, were informed by, you know, things that I did in my legal practice. But I will tell you, though, when you are a lawyer and you're transitioning over to writing creatively, it's a big leap. Like, the writing is very, very different. When you're writing as a lawyer, you have a certain set of facts. You know, a person did this on X, Y, and Z date, and they did it in this manner. And so you're limited to trying to persuade someone with just those facts. But then when you're writing creatively, you can't write in that stilted fashion, right? Now you've got to create the facts, but you also have to create the setting for those facts. And so I need to tell the reader what the room smells like and what it felt like when she touched the dead body, right? All those kinds of things that lawyers don't typically do. And so when I wrote, like, my first couple of drafts of All Her Little Secrets, that book read like an investigative, you know, report in a police station. It looks like, I know what's in my hair, but when I read this, it's not very good. And I think that was when I first realized, hey, I need to learn about the craft of writing. You know, it's not just enough to write the scenes, but you know, how do you create characterization and how do you create pacing so that, you know, the reader wants to turn the next page? And so for me, there was some things about my legal career that informed my writing, but I still had to take this huge leap to learn about, you know, the craft of creating a story.
I love this so much. I think I share with you that I do investigations as part of my job. I work with lawyers, so I have to, everything has gone through the lawyer. It's like presentation of like the facts. Like here, the lawyer tells me we got this issue. I'm all dig into it, be nosy, be gossip, try to figure out the diagram, make sense, and then tell me the facts. Now, I don't think it's like, I know, or these are facts that I am certain about. It's very different. It's a very specific conversation you have to have. It's not like, it really I feel like so-and-so this. Like, no, that's not a fact. And so I'm considering doing like pursuing creative, like creative writing and don't stop. And it's the same thing. It's a leap of like, how do I make this story engaging? How do I make this actually like, how to rebuild the setting, even though it's like an apartment, you know, for the city.
You still have to put the reader there. I mean, like in all the years I practiced law, I never had to describe what a bullet looked like as it's lodged in somebody's head, which I did in the opening prologue of my first book, right? And so the first few drafts of that just said, oh, yeah, he was sitting in a chair and he had been shot in the head. Well, nobody's going to want to read that, right? They want to read about the star-shaped hole with the blood trickling down the side of his face onto his starched white shirt, right? So that took some getting to.
Yes, it is so good. So let's chat about your latest release, which is What You Leave Behind. Tell us about the elevator pitch, what we can expect, which actually I read it. This is like my short-term memory is like I'm getting old, but I read it. I loved it. And I was like, holy crap. So tell us the elevator pitch.
So how do I describe What You Leave Behind? You know what? I say that the elevator pitch, the one sentence pitch, is what happens when a young woman who presumably has lost everything has to find the courage to help everybody else who could possibly lose the most important thing, which is their legacy. And this story is about a young woman who has been fired from her job. Her husband has kicked her out and she's been divorced and her mom has died. So she has like this grand slam of misfortune and she is so caught up in her own problems, but stumbles across an older gentleman who has this very expensive property and then disappears and his property is immediately put up for sale. And she's like, something about this doesn't feel right. And it kind of takes her out of her own grief and leads her to uncover this really, really horrific conspiracy that actually goes on present day. Yeah.
It's just fascinating. I felt like the pages kept turning and turning. It's like uncovering something. I think sometimes like that experience gives you meaning, but I know it's a rabbit hole that sometimes you're like, okay, well, your life is not gonna be like happily ever after. Like it's there's a rabbit hole. Like there are plot twists or things are happening. You're just like, what am I watching? What am I reading? Which is the best kind of reading because you just escape from it. But at the same time, like, this is like what I just thrive for. This one.
You know what? I got to tell you, that is the best compliment I've ever gotten, that I went into a rabbit hole with your book. That is high praise because that's what you want. You know, as a writer, you want your readers to become so immersed in the book that they're like, oh, wait a minute, I am going to find out what the heck is going on in this story. And you feel like you're in this rabbit hole. So you keep turning pages because you're like, oh, Yeah. I know what it is. She's blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, no, that's not it. So very much that is like a high compliment.
It is. And you should just keep writing and keep giving us rabbit holes to entertain us, you know, because I know as a reader, I know writers spend years and their craft of years writing these stories. As a reader, we consume them in a day. And then we're like, oh, we need more. We're just like, you know, you're confident. And sometimes I'm like, okay, but can you pace yourself? But sometimes the story doesn't let you pace yourself.
Right. So, exactly.
Just so you write stories that don't let me pace myself, which is a great thing. Yeah. Except then I'm like, now, nah, like I read all 3 books and I'm like, okay, but I have to wait. So that's why I'm doing these. That's why I do these interviews, so we can, so other readers can buy your book, so then you could keep writing.
Yes.
Because like, it's a whole soul serving purpose. I want you to write more.
Well, thank you very much. Well, hey, everybody who's out there listening, let's do it for Laura.
Let's do it for me, yes. So let's talk about your reading life. Were you a reader growing up, or did you discover that later in life as an escape? And if so, what kind of books do you read now? Are they still similar in the same fashion, the same genre that you write, or something different?
Yeah. So that's a really good question. Actually, I've always been a reader all my life. And it's interesting because over the course of my life, my reading, I wouldn't say it's evolved, it's changed. It's kind of gone in different directions. So of course, as a very young reader, like as a kid, I read all different types of books that, you know, some were appropriate for my age, some weren't appropriate for my age, but, you know, that's okay too. I mean, you know, because I had older brothers and sisters, and so they were reading things like, I'm trying to think of one. I remember reading Bonfire of the Vanities. I'll never forget. I was reading that. I shouldn't have been reading that book. It was, you know, I was too young for that. But so it was things like that. But I was always reading. And then, of course, you know, you get into high school and you're in college. And so you're reading kind of what's required. And so then that took my reading into different places because I kind of found myself, you know, delving into a lot of literary reading. But then it's interesting. Once I started working, like I was a working adult, I found that my time was limited, particularly once I started having kids. And so then I needed books that I could kind of get through that were pacey. Like if I was trying to read and my kid was down for a nap or something, you know, I didn't have time to do a 700-page book. And I think it was kind of there that I started gravitating towards mysteries and particularly thrillers, because those books tend to be a little more pacey. And I always loved that aspect of solving the puzzle, kind of figuring out the pieces and how they all kind of connect together. So I started reading a lot of mysteries, and I was like, this is my sweet spot, that this is my jam, so to speak. So then when I started actually thinking about writing a book, I was like, oh, maybe I could do this. But then again, like I told you at the top of this conversation, I talked myself out of it. I have found now that I'm actually a writer, again, my time is short. And so I try to read different types of books, but I found that I used to be that kind of person who, if I started a book, I felt compelled to finish it. And it's like, oh, let me just finish it. And now I'm like, I don't have the time. Like, if it's not clicking for me in the first few chapters, you know, I pass it on. I have found that by reading widely, it helps me with my writing. Like, for example, I like reading biographies. And interesting enough, I found that reading biographies helps me with characterization, because I'm reading how people kind of live their lives. And I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe that is how somebody would think, right? I do read poetry. I read a lot of poetry because it helps me with narration and prose and just description. Like, poetry is very descriptive. And I like I like having my story be descriptive. So I think that's one of the things that helps you immerse the reader into the story. So yeah, I try and read widely, like different genres and things like that. I need to start reading more romance because I tend to put like a little romance in my books. And I'm like, start learning how the experts do this, right? But yeah, so but it's now my time is so limited because I'm writing and I'm promoting books. So I just tend to kind of, you know, read the things that I like and the things that kind of click for me.
I'm happy to send you romance recommendations for you.
Please do.
Buzzy pace, fast-paced romance, you know, yeah. That will give you kind of like a little bit of like a little taste of it.
Yes, please do.
So. Yes. So do you have any books that you recommend you have read or either favorites or the last book you read? You're like, oh my gosh, that I want our listeners to recommend after they read all your books, they can come to that book.
I actually do. I just finished a really good one. It's called The Night of the Storm by Nishita Perret. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those kind of pacey, whodunit, locked room mysteries. And so it's the story of a family who hunkers down for the night in their two sisters, and they hunker down for the night in one of the sisters' homes because a big hurricane is coming. It takes place in Houston. And over the course of the night, of course, somebody is murdered in the house, and it could be you find out who is murdered. But there are several people who could have done it. And so for me, I kept, like you, racing through the pages trying to figure out, oh, I bet it was so-and-so. And it wasn't. And then it was somebody else. And I was like, oh, crap, that one I didn't see coming. So it's a really kind of fast-paced locker room mystery, which I really, really love. This is her debut book. And she is just a wonderful, wonderful writer. I just started a book. It actually just came out today. You Know What You Did by K.T. Nguyen. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I am in the early pages of this, but there is this woman. It's about a Vietnamese-American artist, and her mom immigrated to this country, and there is something going on, this connection between the two of them. And the woman actually has, the protagonist of the book actually has OCD. And so as you're going through this story, you're wondering whether things are really happening or is it part of her condition? And so you were kind of, you want to talk about being immersed in the story, kind of lost in what is going on, kind of what's real, what is part of what's going on in her mind. Really good book. I haven't finished it yet, but I just started that one. So you kind of see where my tastes go.
Yes, I love this. And I have that. That's like the last book that you mentioned. I actually have it. And it's on my queue to read it. Like, and now I'm like, you just bump it up, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good. Perfect.
It's good.
Awesome. Wanda, tell us where you can find you online.
You can find me at WandaMorrisWrites.com. I'm on all the social media as well. I'm on Twitter X, Facebook, Instagram, Threads. If there's a social media platform, I'm in there trolling around. So look for me there.
There we go. Thank you, Wanda, for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Laura. This has been a real treat.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the What to Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the What to Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading! Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers?
What's Your Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourrenextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.